Our first scripture lesson today is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. This is actually a passage that we have dealt with a couple of times in recent months, but it is the lectionary reading for the first Sunday of Lent. And my Lenten discipline this year is that I will be preaching the lectionary text on the Sundays of Lent and trying to stick as closely as I can to those. And the first Sunday of Lent, the traditional reading from the gospel, whichever gospel it might be that particular year in the lectionary, is the story of Jesus in the wilderness. And so this year, our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus in the wilderness. Let us listen for God's word to us. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. So I'm sure many of you heard or read a story that was in the news recently. I had read it earlier this week, and then I heard a story about it on the radio this morning driving up here to church. It's the story of a woman in Georgia who actually read the agreement to her travel insurance. Have you heard that story? Yeah. And this woman, she's a school teacher. I heard in the interview this morning on the radio, she's a school teacher in Georgia, and she says, "I always read the agreements. Even online, I read the agreements before I say I agree." So she had bought some travel insurance for a trip, and she printed it out and she read it. And on the seventh page, there was a paragraph about people usually don't read these agreements, and we're running a little experiment to see just how many people do. And if you've gotten this far, call this number and you may be eligible to win $10,000. She called the number and she was the first one and she won $10,000. Simply by reading the whole thing and paying attention to it. The interviewer asked her, she says, "Well, now why would you do that?" And she said, "Well, you know, I'm a school teacher. And for years on exams, I have had hidden instructions on the exam. Things like, if you will circle such and such word in question 7, you will get a 10-point bonus." I had a school teacher once in the instructions, the very last thing said, "Please answer only the last question of this test." You know, it pays to read the instructions, doesn't it? You know, I think that the church, we Christians, we religious people, have come into a very dangerous, tenuous place in our faith, in that we don't read the Bible anymore. We don't read the Bible anymore. And when I say read, I'm talking about reading it the way this school teacher read that agreement. And we don't read the Bible anymore for many of the same reasons that we don't read those agreements, right? We know what they say. We know what it is. So just check the box and move on. Many of us have been part of a faith community most of our lives. We know what the Bible says. We know what the Bible is. We'll just pick and choose verses that we want to read. We may have a daily devotion and we may read 2 or 3 verses. We may come to church on Sunday morning and we will listen to somebody else read it and talk about it. But how many of us actually read the Bible with the intention of trying to really discover something for ourselves from that text? We've got a Bible study starting on Wednesday night. Bible study, that's an interesting phrase in the church. Everybody wants a Bible study. What do we need in our Christian education? We need Bible study. But we don't want to read it. We want to come and let somebody else tell us what it's all about. We don't want to really study the Bible, but we want to call it Bible study. Well, we're doing a study on Wednesday night that is about the Bible and the importance of the Bible in our faith. And the importance of knowing the history of the Bible and what it actually is and how it comes to us. And I encourage you to be a part of this. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. None of us know as much about the Bible as we think we know. I may sound like I'm preaching at you, okay? But it reminds me of my friend that went to seminary with me. He's actually about nearly 10 years older than me. So when we got out of seminary, he was nearly 50 when he started his career. And Skip was in a tiny church in North Carolina, and he got in a conversation with the matriarch of that little church over an issue, and Skip was telling her some things, and she looked at him and she says, "Young man, you stop preaching at me." And my friend Skip says, "I'm the preacher. That's what you pay me for." So every once in a while, you may feel like you're getting preached at. But I really don't intend that. But I do encourage you to be a part of this study. And if you're not, I encourage you to pick up your Bible and read it every once in a while. Read an entire chapter. Read an entire book. And I can guarantee you, you will discover things you had never even imagined. One way to read the Bible is an ancient way called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is the thing where you read a scripture passage or you hear the scripture passage read, and you're to contemplate that passage and listen for a word or a phrase. And you pick up on that one word or that one phrase that just kind of jumps out at you. And then you listen to it again and you listen for that word or that phrase. And then you take that word or that phrase and you begin to say, "Well, why did that jump out at me? Why is that what I heard? And how does that interact with my life and what's going on in the world around me?" It's called Lectio Divina. Well, I used a little Lectio Divina on the passages this morning from Deuteronomy and Luke. And the words that came out to me, the first word that came out to me was when. When. Isn't that an interesting word? When. When can be past, when can be present, and when can be future. When I was born, when I am living, when I die, when I was younger, when I will be older. When? It's a very interesting word. And both of these passages have whens in them. The Luke passage starts off with when those days were over. I never had really realized that this whole story about Jesus and the devil takes place at the very end of 40 days. It says Jesus had been in the desert for 40 days being tempted. And the very second sentence of the passage says, when those days were over. So, this little scene between Jesus and the devil, and one of my other sermons on this passage was about all that, so we won't get into that here today. Jesus' conversation is after 40 days of fasting, and it says he was famished. And then we get into some whens. We live in the whens of our lives. We are all of us living either mostly in the past, mostly in the future, and occasionally in the present. We remember the good old days. Or we anticipate the good old days. Or we worry about the future and paint the past much brighter than it ever was. But the when of the present is the one that eludes us the most. And the when of the present really leads us to the next word that came to me in this passage, and that word is then. It's hard to have a when without a then. And both of these passages are passages of when and then. When Jesus was famished, then the devil came to him and said. When Jesus responds to the first question, then the devil comes up with the next one. And then there's another when, and then there's another then. In the passage from Deuteronomy, it starts off with, guess what? When. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, then this is what you need to do. These are instructions to the Israelites before they ever get to the quote unquote promised land. When, then. When you come into the promised land, when you have your first crops, then you will give your first fruits. Then you will take them to the priest. Then they will be sanctified. This is one big then. Then you, along with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house. It starts out with when you enter the land. Then you will celebrate your bounty with everybody. when and then. It connects the past, the present, and the future. It connects the material, the land, the bounty, with the religious, the spiritual. It connects us with all of this. The story of Jesus and his temptation is very similar. The very first temptation is what? To make a stone become bread. This is very material. It's talking about creation. It's talking about the world we live in. And Jesus immediately says, but we don't live by bread alone. And bread doesn't mean a loaf of whole wheat bread. Bread means the material stuff that sustains our lives, which we have to have. And Jesus doesn't say we discard the material stuff. He says, but we can't live only on that. We must realize that there is connection. The great theologian, paleontologist Pierre de Chardin, early in the 20th century, was the master at connecting matter and spirit. And his one little parable that I've actually mentioned here before is that you eat a piece of bread in the morning, and that night it becomes your dream. Because that piece of bread that you put in your mouth is digested by your body and turned into the enzymes that feed all of your bodily functions, which in turn send the nourishment to your brain that becomes imagination. A piece of bread in one single day brings matter and spirit together. It's no accident that the central sacrament of our faith is eating a piece of bread. So you see, both of these stories connect the material and the spiritual. When and then, when we learn to experience and appreciate and notice all that's going on around us, when we pay enough attention to the scriptures, when we pay enough attention to the scripture of creation itself, when we pay attention, we begin to realize that we are connected. We are interconnected. And that ultimate connection is God. At the center of both of these passages, Deuteronomy and Luke, is an ultimate connection to God, which is the connection to everybody and everything. We can't separate them. And in many ways, that is the ultimate when and then. The ultimate when is when we pay attention, when we read the agreement, when we read the test instructions, when we read our scriptures, when we open our eyes and our minds in the world around us, when we pay attention, then we discover we are connected, we are interconnected, we are interdependent with all of creation and with each other. Then we discover that we belong to God. Lent is a season of exploring the whens and the thens in our life. And I encourage you to start paying attention. Amen. This is where I reclaim my time from the children's sermon. Notice the graphic on the front of your bulletin. It was the graphic that was on the screen during the sermon time. This is a graphic that we will have on our bulletin throughout Lent, because it is a beautiful example of this interconnectedness and continuity of creation that we will be exploring. What you have is you have a burnt ash mark with a palm forming a cross. I'm sure you know this, but some of you may not, that the ashes that we put on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday are the ashes from the burnt palm leaves of Palm Sunday, signifying the continuity of life. And on Ash Wednesday, we say, from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust. Actually, here we say, from stardust to stardust. Because we are connected with the universe itself. The earth from which we come is a rock from an exploded star billions of years ago. We are really stardust, but we are connected in the same way that the ashes of the palm leaves bring us around to Ash Wednesday, that lead us again to Palm Sunday and back to Ash Wednesday, but always through the cross, to remind us we belong to God. This Lent, let us keep that forefront in our hearts and minds, and open our eyes and pay attention to exactly how, when, and where we belong to God. Amen.